Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. We bless your name, O Lord. We thank you, for you love us with an everlasting love. And we thank you because we love you, because you first loved us. Now, behold, what manner of love that the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. We bless your name, O Father, because we are carriers of your love, and our motive is love. And as you have loved us and poured and shed your love in our hearts, so shall we love our brethren and love the world, that through us the world will see the love of the Father. We thank you, Heavenly Father, because we are carriers of love. We are carriers of love. Thank you, Heavenly Father, because we've known of your love, which is unlike anything. Bless your name, O Lord. We bless your name, and we thank you for this honor and this privilege and this joy to know you and to serve you and to do your will. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know these guys who, these fake guys, they had a plot where some guys, they send some weird guys, and they come and say, they come with land titles, and say that I've given my land, you know, either to the ministry or to the man of God or whatever. And then they turn around and go on TV and say, the guy conned me of my land. Then they make it a controversy. And then you know, then the watchman appears on TV denying that I did not ask the guy for his land. I'm saying this because they are here. And some of them think they will give us their land and we take it. But we are not going. I don't want anybody's land. Our offerings will only be money. Now, if you want to go and create a controversy that you gave me money. That one I can handle. But you know, like, there are people who want to, and the trouble is, when they do things like that, some of you will believe it. Because you've seen it on the media. Like, and you have to be, you have to get beyond that. Because you know who controls the media. You understand? Now, and you see, when you are so fickle that something you read in the newspapers can change your mind, then you have no place here completely. Praise the Lord. I remember when there was some guy who was, who supposedly was in the, not supposedly, he was in the occult, and he had some group which had angels, Now, when the guy came and got born again, which he actually did, for some time, I don't know if it still is the case, but he did at the time. He said that when he went there, when he went to that place, in those meetings which they have in the spirit, in the underworld, they told him that he's going to start that group of girls to dance nude. Then he told them that which parents can let their girls come and join such a group. Then they told him that don't worry, we'll handle that. The parents will not know what hit them. Then he said, but the culture, people will be so angry when we do that. Then they told him that don't worry, we are about to start a newspaper in your city which will popularize that thing. And now, as soon as he started, a month later, a certain newspaper, which was recently closed and reopened, started. You see, Now, so you go and read the bulletin of the devil completely from hell. That's what it is. There is no two ways about it. And you know, we read in the whatever paper,
In the blue paper.
And you believe. But I mean, how? But you know, like, some of you have to be like, do you understand? Eh?
So there is a controversy.
Eh?
The watchman conned somebody of his land. So he said, first we can't go there, it's controversial.
I mean, really? From that toilet paper? Oh, sorry. What did I say? I meant blue paper. Eh? Okay. But I want you to know that it is from there. That boy said it when I was hearing. How they assured him that, don't worry, we'll start a newspaper. And it will make those things look what? Okay. And it started. So anyhow, so now these people of land, if you brought here a land title, take it back to you, what? To the person who sent you, eh? Otherwise, I will hammer you with something which you, because, okay, let me stop before I get on. But the point is, like, do you know they are here, eh? So if you see somebody next to you with a kabasa, tell him, take back your land title. We don't want land, praise the Lord. I have enough land. Okay. But you see now the trouble is they even spoil for people who are genuine. Who genuinely want to do something powerful. Praise the Lord. But you see now these are the things. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is because this is the kind of fighting that they are going to start doing. To discredit certain people in your eyes. So now when the person who is supposed to help you is discredited, then you can no longer receive from them. And now the devil has you where he wants you. Because God designated that somebody is supposed to bring you to a certain place, then the person is discredited. You no longer take him as, praise the Lord. Did you see the other guy whom I told you the devil anointed to be president? Did you see him that is in Harvard? Now you people of God, if God called you into leadership, and you zembea and some clown comes and takes your place, we shall hammer you chibok. I mean, can you imagine how, really? How do I stand there and say that clown is my president? But you see, you have to know certain things. Eh? Because I actually was seeing believers going with it. And you see how those people set themselves and position themselves. Eh? Suddenly the guy is showing you he's with senators in America and over discussing leadership, over the challenges of leadership in the 21st century. Oh my dear. You know? And like people of God actually go with those things because the guy appears on TV and talks what? Anyhow. So, now you know. Eh? Now you what? You know, because if I don't tell you, you will not know. But you should know. You should see it from a distance and know. That where is this coming from? How can somebody suddenly... And you see, those people, they know how to position them. Like, even people around start calling him Mr. President. Mr. President. Like, and you know that is how people get into positions like that. Eh? Like, somehow you put it in people's consciousness that you're supposed to be. Do you understand? Eh? How do you think Bazungu have ruled over us for so long? Because they feel it in your consciousness from your education that they are superior. So somehow, when you're entering a supermarket, there are those guys who are checking. Eh? When a Mzungu comes, they just look at him like this. Like you see, it is all over. It has been fed into their consciousness. Now, as long as you don't remove it, they will rule over you. So people come and start placing something in, you know, and suddenly you start thinking that, you know, this is, he's supposed to be. Then it wells up inside you. Then you say, actually, he should be president. Then the next thing you know, the guy is. And it's not the will of God. It's the will of the devil. The will of what? Now go and find anybody else who will tell you that. That somebody whom you all know is the will of the devil. Praise the Lord. Yeah. When Donald Trump was elected as president, I was asking the Lord, I just want to give you an update on what Prophet Joseph Kabuleta has been saying. Eh? Okay, now, when Trump was elected as president, I asked the Lord that, what is his presidency going to mean for the world? So he told me the first thing that, he told me that they are going to fight him so much, but that he will silence them through one thing, money, the economy. He told me that he will make the economies so successful
that even his enemies will look like fools, because they want to attack other things, his social record and all those things. But you see, God says that just by him being there, the economies will grow, and not just America's. The economies, and there will be an economic boom, and even his enemies, when they have money in their pocket, will shut up. And you see, some of you have to know that money follows leadership. When there is the right leadership at the top, money comes. You know, the Bible says that silver was like stones in the days of Solomon. Where did that silver come from? And where did it go after Solomon? You see, some people want to reason these things. You want to reason this out. But how come somebody comes in power and suddenly there is a lot of money? There's a lot of silver. Silver is like stones. And then when the guy goes, now do you know, in the times of Solomon, everything in the temple was gold. The guy had too much gold, he even was doing gold shields. You know, shields which they used to fight. You don't need gold. It's just supposed to stop a spear. But because there is too much gold, you put gold shields. Now, some whatever's down the road, even in the temple, they were using brass. So where did all the silver go? Now I'm telling you that when a system comes in place, money shows up, can show up from nowhere, and suddenly everybody has it. Because God has put his thing on that, whatever. So now he told me that now I was seeing today how everything has changed. How the whole narrative has changed. To be honest, after the 8 years of Obama, I didn't think that would recover from the damage that man caused to the whole world narrative. But now everything has changed. Everything. Some of you saw the guys who won the Super Bowl. The Philadelphia guys. Going on television and saying, you know, we give the glory to Jesus. Not to God. Because God can mean anything. We said they give the glory to Jesus and they were all praying and what. Even half time when they are there, the guys are there praying. Serious prayer. And they are doing it in front of the second biggest audience in world sport. The only bigger audience in world sport is the World Cup final. The second one is Super Bowl. Because it's not just the football, it's the entertainment and all the other things. So now they are doing there and there. So you watched that video, did you? It was on Fox News. And then they are telling the guys that, so they are interviewing them and they are saying that, one of them said, now this blew me. One of them said that, you know, I know that football is not my purpose. Football is my platform. My purpose is to create disciples for Jesus. Man, I mean, you'd struggle to get even a pastor saying something as nice as that. Eh? So he says, football just creates the platform for me to go and spread the message of Jesus. Now I'm telling you that after 8 years of Obama, all those people had been put in a closet. You could not even come out and say you're a Christian without you being hounded, made look foolish, and all those things. Eh? But now all of them are coming out. Even in Europe, they are coming out of the closet and saying, no, what would we stand for this? We are, Christians and so on. Now, you saw the other day, Google, you know that Google answer thing? Eh? That where you ask Google verbally and it answers you. Did you see that thing? So somebody asks Google, who is Muhammad? Then they say, Muhammad is like the last prophet of Islam. And blah, blah. Who is Buddha? Who is, you know, Hare Krishna? Then they ask, who is Jesus? I say, sorry, I can't help you. Who is Jesus Christ? Sorry, I can't help you. Now, somebody got it and put it and became viral, and Google had to withdraw all the answers for religious leaders. Do you know, they would rather do that than answer who Jesus is. They would rather say, let's take off Muhammad and all the rest, eh? Plus Jesus, but we will not put Jesus. You understand? Eh? But now, a few years, just 1 year ago, nobody would put them under pressure. Like, Facebook was blocking people who are anti-homosexuality and all that. Now they can't. But you see, now I'll tell you what else the Lord told me. Now you see how the economy has boomed. Even in Davos, in Switzerland, when there was that World Economic Forum, where the internationalists who don't like him because for him is, you know, America first. For them, they believe the world first. They acknowledged that because of his policies, prosperity has spread across the world. Now economies across, you know. So, and now that is just the beginning. Now I know that by the end of his first 4 years, even his enemy, do you know the people who hated him the most? Wall Street. Do you know the people who are the most quiet? Wall Street. Because he has made them rich. They fought him, now he has made them rich. They are making a lot of money. Shares are going up and up and up. So now they are quiet. Now, that's one thing they will tell. Now, the second thing he told me is, I told him that time, actually, I remember I was in my compound praying, and I told him, but you see the relationship now, because at that time, the relationship between America and Russia had hit a record low. So I told him that now that Trump and Putin seem to be getting along, the relationship between America and Russia is going to get better. Then he told me, no, actually, on the contrary, it's going to get worse. And he told me, because Trump is going to spend a lot of money on the military, and he's going to scare Russia. Now, the first budget he put, he had increased defense. Now, the Lord told me that time, and I actually said it at fellowship. He had increased the defense budget by $800 billion, his first budget. Now, by that time, Russia had overtaken America as the number one nuclear power in the world. Trump set out to address that. He said we must be number one in everything. Now, suddenly, the tensions that are between America and Russia are actually threatening to explode into something. And you have to see that, you know, it's not been so much in the news. And you see, when something is not in the news, you know that it is news. Because the news is never in the news. Now, we have a scenario in Syria where there are Turkish troops, American troops, Iranians, Saudi Arabians, and now even Israel is threatening. And why is Israel threatening? Because Iran is trying to build, because you see, Syria is a big mass of land. And it's a huge mass of land. And the capital, Damascus, is very close this side, very close to Israel. Now, there is a huge piece of land there which, in the absence of a proper government, can be used for anything. That's of course, where ISIS and what's stationed. But now, the Iranians have built, using, of course, some of the, you know, the ISIS guys, underground missile factories, which are underground. And they are producing missiles, very, very many missiles. Now, the idea, the purpose of the missiles is Israel. That's where they are all intended. Now, as many as 9,000 missiles. Now, Israel has the capacity to intercept the missiles, but not 9,000. You see what you do when somebody has anti-missile, technology? Because what happens when you shoot it, they shoot it down and detonate it in the air and becomes useless. But you just continue shooting until their anti-run out and finally they start landing. Now, 9,000. Now, that's many. 9,000. And Israel can't touch them because it's underground. So now what they do, of course, they have their satellites all there. But what they do is they wait for them to be transporting them from the underground facilities to Lebanon, where there is Hezbollah. Transporting them to that place where there is, you know, because they use Hezbollah in Lebanon and Hamas in Palestine. Now they are transporting them. So Israel waits for them to be transported, and then they shoot them, they hit them. That's the only thing they can do. When they come out of underground and they are being transported, then they shoot them down. Now, those missiles need launchers, because the missile is there, the launcher is there. So you have to take the missile to where the launcher is, and then if you are going to launch. But you see, they are preparing all over for a war in the Middle East. And it is very imminent. It is very, very imminent. And now, according to so many sources, it's even inevitable. And now, because Israel cannot let Iran acquire nuclear weapons. Because if they do, that's the end of Israel. So now when Iran and America were, and the European, Western European countries were coming into an agreement to lift the sanctions of Iran, the Prime Minister of Israel begged them, don't. You're going to give them money and they will use the money to strengthen their nuclear capabilities. But of course, they ignored him. That was the Obamas and so on. They ignored him, and they went ahead to sign the agreement. Iran, out of the agreement, started getting a lot of money, and they are using it for that very reason. Now, in there is a big dispute between the the Shias, who are led by Iran. Iran is the big Shia nation, but about 80% of Muslims are Sunni. And Iran is the only big nation which represents the Shias. Now, of course, there is a big... Saudi Arabia is Sunni, and they don't like Iran. Now, I'm trying to build something here. My interest in all of this is Bible prophecy. And I'm going to show you how. So, these guys... Now, we have Turkey saying that they are rebels. They have a rebel group of Kurds, of Kurds, called YPG, who base somewhere inside Syria, and sometimes have been fighting and launching into Turkey. So Turkey says, we are going 18 miles into Syria at the border to cut off that thing. So now Turkish troops are there. Now, the only trouble is the Kurds whom the Turks are fighting are actually the very people who America is arming to fight ISIS. So now Turkey and America are allies in NATO. And the NATO agreement says anybody who attacks any of the NATO allies attacks America. But now we are having a scenario where two NATO allies, Turkey and America, are almost facing off. Actually, there is a proxy war between them. Turkish soldiers are here, and the YPG rebels who America armed to fight ISIS, because they didn't want to take their people there. So they just give these people, by the way, they just give them intelligence because they can see everything. Eh? They just give them intelligence and ammunition. And with that, you can fight any war. Because they will tell you exactly where the guys are. Because they have the whole, you know. So by just giving these people that, they destroyed ISIS without America taking their soldiers en masse. But now the very guys whom they armed are the guys who Turkey is fighting. Turkey is a NATO ally. Now there is caviar in Syria, which is unprecedented, by the way, because Iran is there manufacturing missiles to hit Israel. Israel is monitoring what is there because it knows who Iran is targeting with those missiles. Iran is in control of Hezbollah in Lebanon, which is just near Israel. And somehow, the other small countries like Qatar are funding Hamas, which fights Israel, you know, in the Palestinian region. So now, in all that area right now, there is a lot of volatility that it will take one small thing. Because the other day, Turkey told America, get out of the way, we are going to shoot you. Americans said, shoot us, we'll retaliate. We'll defend ourselves. Now, one small mistake, and it's like setting, you know, a bush on fire. One small mistake, and now tempers are flaring, but quietly, and that's why it's not in the news, quietly. Now, there's a prophecy on Damascus in Syria, which is probably the oldest city that is in that place ever. I don't think there's a city older than Damascus, which is in the place where it has always been. Other cities move. It's called this, but after some time it's there. But Damascus has always been in Damascus from the book of Genesis, where Abraham went to Damascus. But there's a prophecy that it will cease to be a city and it will become a ruinous heap. And it shall not be inhabited again. Now, Damascus is the capital of Syria. Now, that prophecy has never come to pass. Damascus has never been destroyed. But now, the one prophecy that we all are looking at, that one, because we are looking for it to happen, and then now we'll have run out of prophecies which are yet to be fulfilled before the return of the Lord. Now, all the activities centered around there. Now, let's read Revelation chapter 9. That there are some things I want to show you here. 9:13. Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. Now, who are these angels who are bound at the river Euphrates? Are they angels or are they demons? Demons, eh? Then why does it call them angels? They are fallen angels, eh? Okay. Let's read Genesis chapter 3, verse 23. Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man and he placed the cherubim at the east of the garden of Eden. And a flaming sword, which turned every way, to guard the way to the tree of life. Now, do you know that the tree of life was actually on earth? Do you know it's described the four rivers that came from it? One of them was the river Euphrates. The others are there. One of them is the Nile. The others is the Tigris. They are all rivers in that place. So, if it was in heaven and man was cursed, there would be no need for a sword. Because how would man get there? But man is cast out of the garden and God puts a cherubim. Now, cherubim are angels. And the principal word for the cherubim actually comes from the four. Cherubim means, is it plural? Cherub is singular. You understand? So a cherub is one. Cherubim is plural. Now, cherub comes from the word four. And when you read Ezekiel chapter 1, he describes the cherubim as having four, you know, four everything, four wings and eyes all over the wings and so on. So everything about them was four. Now, in the same Ezekiel chapter 1, he describes the seraphim as having six. Actually, seraphim comes from the word six. The primary word in seraphim is six. Everything about them is six. So, at the east of the Garden of Eden, so he placed cherubim, which is more than one. If it was one angel, you would say a cherub. He placed the cherubim, that is more than one, at the east of the Garden of Eden. And a flaming sword which turned every side, which means that there was need to protect the Garden of Eden. And of course, the reason God wanted to protect it is so that man does not eat of the tree of life in his fallen state. Anyhow, so maybe these are the angels who are in that place. Because the Garden of Eden is actually around there. The river Euphrates mentioned in Genesis chapter 2, four rivers, maybe. Okay, because why do they call them angels? But then on the other hand, the bound, okay, bound sounds like, the word used there as the angels bound is only used when they are talking about binding Satan for 1,000 years. So maybe they are not. Anyhow, let's read. Controversy. Saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and the day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. Now the number, were released to kill a third of mankind. Now this war, which I'm talking about, at the river Euphrates. Let's look at the map of the river Euphrates and see. Now you see this is the river Euphrates. You can see from here, it starts up from Turkey, from here. Now the rivers which are in the Bible, the Nile is down here, the Tigris is here, all of them are here, some of them. Okay, so Euphrates comes from Turkey, goes into Syria, but mostly is in Iraq, and empties into the Persian Gulf at the border of Iran and Iraq. So you can say actually Iran gets a small bit of it as it empties into the Persian Gulf. So there are four nations. And now, as I'm speaking, these Golan Heights, you know the Golan Heights. We spoke about the Golan Heights. Now you see where Damascus is. All this place in Syria is being infested with people with different... Russia is there, America is there, Turkey is there. Of course, Iraq is there, Iran is there. And also Israel is threatening to go there. But if they went there, that would be serious trouble. So all that place in Syria. Now, these people, their purpose is to kill a third of mankind. Now, let's read, because this is the same war that is spoken about in the book of Ezekiel. So let's read about it from that place. Ezekiel 38. Now, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, but before I read, let me tell you this. Saudi Arabia and Israel and America are into some sort of collision. They are together. Why? Because they are fighting Iran. Iran is the single biggest threat now to Islam. And they have the biggest, the best and most sophisticated army in that region apart from Israel. Now Saudi Arabia is scared and they are spending a lot of money on the military because they are scared that Iran, who represent Shia or Shiite Muslims, is coming against Saudi, who of course are the, you know, Sunni, and the advent of Sunni. So now, there's already a lot of tension between those two people. Now, Iran, listen to this. The Sunnis, Saudi Arabia, has actually linked with Israel, surprise, and America, out of their fear for Iran. Now, Iran has linked with Iraq, with the Syrian regime, which is crumbling, becoming smaller and smaller, but especially with Russia. Now, I'll say that again. On the one hand is America, Israel, and Saudi Arabia. On the other hand is Iran, Russia, and the others, Hezbollah, who are controlled by Iran, and, you know, and also the Syrian regime of Bashar al-Assad. So now you see there is a small line dividing them, and something is about to give. And by the way, it is about to give, and it will not become news until it gives. So, now the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, set your face against Gog and the land of Magog, and the prince of Rosh, Meshech, Tubal, prophesy against him, and say, Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Gog, the prince of Rosh. Okay? I will turn you around, put hooks into your jaws, and lead you out of, with all your army, horses, and great companies, with bucklers and the shields, all men handling swords, Persia, that is Iran, Ethiopia, which actually represents even Sudan and what all the countries below the Egypt. It doesn't necessarily represent the Ethiopia, we know. Libya, which represents so many of the countries east of Egypt. They are all called Libya. Morocco, what, Tunisia, all called Libya in Bible speech. Okay? Are with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Goma and all its troops, the house of Togarmath, from the far north, from the far what? Okay? And all its troops, many people are with you. Prepare yourself and be ready, you and your companies that are gathered about you, and be a guard for them. And after many days, you will be visited. You see, the Lord calls Israel being visited. In the latter years, that means in the years towards the end, you will come into the land of those brought back from the sword and gathered from many people on the mountains of Israel. Now, I want you to notice two things. When Israel is gathered from many nations and brought and become a nation, one, you know, and brought into their country, which it is now, then he says, in those latter years, you'll come against the mountains of Israel, which had long been forsaken. They were brought out of the nations, and now all of them dwell safely. That is the Israelites. You will ascend coming like a storm. Now, I want you to notice certain things. Here, he says, you'll be a great company first. Then he says, you'll come like a storm, covering the land like a cloud. Now, that speaks of a great army, where it is not just... Now, I want you to notice that these days, a lot of the fighting is actually technological. It is very rare for armies this very big to show up. Now, all military across the world, all countries, I mean, actually most of the Western countries are reducing the number of soldiers, because fighting is no longer about soldiers, it's about technology. Now, many of them are reducing. France, America, Germany has almost a shadow army. All of them are reducing because now it's all technology. But here, the Bible says, it says in Revelation, the army was 200 million people who will all come into Israel. 200 million. Where do you get 200 million soldiers? Because the country with the biggest number of active soldiers is China, and they are 1.6 million. Where do you get 200 when China, with a population of 1.5 billion, has an army of only 1.6 active soldiers? So, but you see, it's specific here that he saw a number of the soldiers, and there were 200 million. Now, that shocked me, because you, even if you added all these other army, you know, China has 1.6. America has about 300,000 or 400,000. They're all being slashed down because it's now technology. And the wars are being fought on computers. It's no longer, you know, the open combat. So where do you get, if you add China, India has the second biggest, I think, about 1 million. Where do you get 200 million soldiers from? Let's first go to the other, Revelation 9. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour, the day, and the month, and the year were released to kill a third of mankind. Now, one third of mankind. Okay, let's go ahead. Now, the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. I had the number of them. So I looked at this and said, where do you get 200 million people to go and fight? And how do you, how, what kind of war kills 2.3 billion people? I mean, how do you kill 2.3 billion people? Even if you set out to, it would be very difficult. Even if that was your purpose. One third of mankind. The army was 2.3 billion people. Now let's go back to Ezekiel 38 verse 9. It says, you will ascend coming like a storm, covering the land like a cloud, you and all your troops, and many peoples with you. Thus says the Lord God, on that day it shall come to pass that thoughts will arise in your mind, and you will make an evil plan. You will say, I will go up against the land of unwalled villages, and I will go to a peaceful people who dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls, and having neither bars nor gates, to take plunder. Let's go to verse 14. Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say to Gog, thus says the Lord God, on that day my people Israel dwell safely, will you not know it? Then you will come from your place out of the far north. Okay? And many people with you, all of them riding on horses, a great company and a mighty army. You will come against my people Israel like a cloud to cover the land. It will be in the latter days that I will bring you against my land. Remember, notice the Lord says his land. Eh? Okay. So that the nations may know me when I am hallowed in you, O Gog, before their eyes. Now, I will spare you some of the scriptures here, but I will tell you this, that God says that finally all the nations will know that I am God. That it will be something so spectacular that even the most hardened heart will know that there is no way this could have happened. Where he says, finally, the whole world will hallow me as God, and they will know Israel were defeated before because they rebelled against me. But now, and you know, he actually says, let me read the scripture. And verse 18, and it will come to pass at the same time when Gog comes against the land of Israel, says the Lord God, that my fury will show in my face. Wow. Then a few things will happen. First of all, there will be an earthquake that will shake the whole place as that army of 200 million comes. Then verse 21, he says, I will call for a sword against Gog throughout all my mountains, says the Lord. Now then it says, every man's sword will be against his brother. Now I'm going to tell you how all this is going to play out in a very short time. Every man's sword will be against what? Brother. Then he says, and I will bring him to judgment with pestilence and bloodshed, and to rain down on him, on his troops, and on the many peoples who are with him, flooding rain, great hailstorms, fire and brimstone. Of course, that means nuclear. Thus I will magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. And you, O son of man, chapter 39, prophesy against Gog, and say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Gog, and the prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tobiah. Why is he repeating this thing? And I will turn you around and lead you on, bringing you up from the far north again, bring you against the mountains of Israel. Notice that, the mountains of Israel. I will show you why it's important. Then I will knock the bow out of your left hand. Now, this is what I wanted. I will knock the bow out of your left hand and cause the arrows to fall out of your right hand. You shall fall upon the mountains of Israel, you and all your troops, and the peoples who are with you. I will give you to birds of prey of every sort and the beasts of the field to be devoured. Now, the bow is, when you do a bow like this, the bow is held by the left hand, and the arrow is held by the right hand. True? So he says he will knock the bow out of the left hand, and the arrow will fall down. Now, of course, that's very symbolic, but it has a very powerful meaning. Because now here is what is happening. When Israel notices that Iran are on the brink of getting launchers to launch the missiles into Israel, which they are very capable of doing, right now they are studying the situation, and of course they have a lot of intelligence of what's happening. They know everything that's happening. So they look and they will wait for such a time when the missiles are finally getting to where the launchers are. Then that's when Israel will do a preemptive strike. According to the Bible, a preemptive strike means when somebody is about to shoot an arrow, you knock his hand. Okay? And the hand, in this case, is the launcher. Because a missile without a launcher is useless. You need to put it on a launcher, then it, you know, you hit it. So when Israel learns that, they will, now that Iran is on the brink of getting that, then they will hit first, which they are good at. And then when they hit first, then that will precipitate into this River Euphrates war, full blown, full scale, which kills 2.3 billion people. Now the war will be, now God says that it will be very destructive but very brief. Because now what is going to happen is that Iran will be on the side of the Shias and the Sunnis will be this side. Now Iran will want to attack Israel, okay? But the Lord says that he will turn them against themselves. So now it will end up being the Sunnis fighting the Shias and Israel comes out of it. Whereas it was Iran. Now that's what he said there, every man's sword will be against his brother. Now they will come against Israel, but God will mess them up. And it has happened before in the Bible, you know that. Eh? And now it ends up being a bloodbath between the Sunnis and the Shias, which is already, which has been long in coming. Now somehow Israel gets saved from it. Now, then he says, let's go back to the map and I show you certain things. Eh? So you see the mountains of Israel are that place which has Golan Heights, eh? Near Damascus. That's where they come into Israel to try and launch their, you know, their. Now, the reason Iran needs to have space in Syria is this is Iran, okay? They don't have the launchers to launch from here up to Israel. You understand? So they need to cave out a space within Syria from where they can launch to Israel because their primary target is Israel. Now, and they are building towards that. And they even set up, and now they said, show us some of the headlines that we have here. There are some things which I found interesting here. Former Netanyahu advisor, Syria ceasefire could make Israel-Iran war inevitable. Okay, let's go to the next. Why war with Iran is unfortunately inevitable. That's according to the Jerusalem Post. Now, Times of Israel. Khamenei told me, Khamenei is the Iranian supreme leader, Ayatollah. They are, you know, de facto leader. Khamenei told me Iran will win inevitable conflict with Israel and U.S., says Spain's prime minister. Speaking in Jerusalem, Jose Maria Aznas also recalls Putin telling him Israel will take care of the Iranians. Now, I want you to see these are very important things because Spain went to Putin and told him we cannot let Iran get a nuclear weapon. And Putin told him, don't worry about Iran, Israel will sort them, according to the former Spanish prime minister. So everybody knows it's inevitable that at some stage, Iran is going to continue making the nuclear weapon, and at some stage, Israel is going to have to stop it, because if they don't stop it, then they will be stopped themselves. So you see everybody saying inevitable. The next one, in Russian media blitz, Prime Minister warns Israel won't let Iran open Golan front. Ahead of Putin meeting, Netanyahu says Tehran cannot be allowed to use Hezbollah as a proxy to attack the Jewish state. Now, Hezbollah is in Lebanon, which is nearer. So Iran needs to be there because they are too far away to launch into Israel. So now they come and take control of Hezbollah, which is in Lebanon, and they use it. But you see now the guy is saying, Netanyahu is saying, we will not allow them to come. So what will they do to the mountains of Israel? Remember, he says they will come to the mountains of Israel, which is the Golan Heights. He says, I will put a hook. Actually, God says he's the one who brings them. He puts a hook in them and brings them to the mountains of Israel. But just to hammer them from there. So now, which is why I believe that those four angels are actually angels, not demons. Because if God is saying he's the one bringing those people there, he says, I will put a hook in you and bring you. Then he says, I'm releasing angels to go and cause. Then they must be angels, not, you know, demonic spirits. Anyhow, probably. But that's a matter for another day. So now, he says that I will knock the bow out of their arrow, which means a preemptive strike by Israel, and then the whole war blows apart. Then something happens. When that war is finished, but let me just show you some other things here. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 9. Eh? Because who are those countries, Gog, Magog, what? You know, I didn't want to get into that because there is a lot of controversy on who Gog and Magog are. But let's look at the map. Let's first look at the map and see. Now, far north from Jerusalem, Ankara is the capital of Turkey. When it says north, the center of the earth is Jerusalem, of the Bible earth at least. So it says far north is Turkey. Now, Turkey wants to see it, is desperate to be seen as the head of the Sunni Muslims. I know Turkey is going to be one of those nations. There is no doubt about it. Then I also know that Russia is going to be one of them. Yesterday when I was reading these things, because there's a lot of controversy on who is Gog and Magog. Now, yesterday when I was reading these things, I know I read, like, asking the Lord. So I told him that, now tell me that who are these Gog and Magog? Because if you read anywhere, they will confuse you thoroughly. So I just turned to the Lord. Now let's read from verse 16 again. Now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. I had the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates. Breastplates. Where is the breastplate? Around here. Around the breast. Okay. Of fiery red. Hyacinth blue. And sulfur yellow. Okay. Remember those colors. Breastplates of red. And now the horsemen are dressed like with blue and yellow. So red, blue and yellow. But breastplate of red. And the heads of the horses were like heads of lions. And out of their mouth came fire and smoke and brimstone. Now mouth, the fire, smoke and brimstone come over the mouth. But then he goes on to say, by these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone. Obviously, this is talking about nuclear weapons. Okay? Which came out of their mouth. Then he says, for their power is in their mouth and in their tails. Their tails are like serpents, having heads, and with them they do harm. Fire comes out of the mouth, but fire comes out of the tail. What's he talking about? Now I want you to imagine, if you were John, and God took you, if you are the Apostle John, God took you 2,000 years in front, and showed you this war. And you're seeing things which you've never seen, and you have to describe them in your language. In the language you know. And you see, that's how the scripture is. God will show you and you will put it in the human language. So you will say, it looks like this, looks like this. But of course, you know. So then you write what you see. But now, how do you describe some of the things which are there today? You have to use things which you are familiar with. Now, if you are an apostle who has been, who lives in the time of John when Christians were being fed to lions, then everything dangerous might look like a lion. And, but anyhow, he says that they were like, okay, their mouths, I'll read this again. And the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions. And out of their mouth came fire, smoke and brimstone. So horses, which had a head like a lion. I want you to imagine that, horses, but their head is like a lion. And out of their mouth came fire and brimstone. But also their tail was like a serpent. And it also, you know, hammers. Okay. Now let's now imagine that these guys are marching with breastplates of red, blue, hyacinth blue, which is a certain kind of close to navy blue, and yellow. Okay, let's look at some of these. Now this is what I was led to look at actually, and I was in shock when I saw this, because this is the River Euphrates. Go ahead. The next pictures. This is also the River Euphrates. Go ahead. Look at this. This is the Russian army. You see, breastplates of fiery red. Then blue and yellow. Now, there is no other of the armies there. I checked through all of them, and none of them has a uniform like this. Not one. Let's look at the other uniforms. Breastplates of red. Right here at the breast. Why? And yellow. And hyacinth blue. Is that a coincidence? I don't think so. So Russia has to be one of those. It has to be. This is the Russian army. Now I checked the army of Turkey. I checked the army of China. None of them has this uniform. With these colors, which John describes very well. Okay, go ahead. We'll look at others. Now you see, this is Obama. This one we've seen. Now, look at this. This is an intercontinental ballistic missile called a Topol. Now, if you now imagine if you are John, you live 2,000 years ago, and you know there is no time in the spirit. So God shows you what is. How would you describe this using John's language? Okay, let's go ahead. You see, like, it is moving for battle, so it must be a horse. But then it has eyes in front. So if you take this out like this, doesn't this look like a mane of a lion? I'm just imagining, really, eh? Okay, this is just wild guessing, so bear with me. So out of its mouth comes, you know, then go ahead. Now this is it moving, eh? Fire and what? Okay, I just put some many pictures to look and see if in any way I can describe it. Like, I'm trying to think from John's perspective and thinking, how would I describe this if I did not know the word intercontinental ballistic missile? Topol, ICBM. But it says the tail is like a serpent, and out of the tail comes fire. Now, how do you describe this? Now, that thing which was there, when it's going to fire, it lifts up. And it can look like a tail. Now, this is about to launch. Now, when it launches something like this, which is fire. So, if you're John, how would you describe this? Let me read this again. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails are like serpents having heads, and with them they do harm. Pew! Now, when it's about to shoot, this thing you see here goes on top when it is not going to shoot. But now when they're about to shoot, they throw this off. Eh? And then that thing lifts up like that, the tail. Eh? And then now this is about to launch. Then, pew! Now, this thing, which Russia recently unveiled, can travel more than 10,000 kilometers. That is from Russia to Texas or somewhere like that. So, like, all these people are preparing for war. By the way, make no mistake. Eh? All of them are preparing for war. Iran, Russia, like, they are spending a lot of money on military. It cannot just be for defense. Now, there is no way. So, I'm trying to see, is this what John saw? Could it be that this is the tail? Does it look like a tail? Wow, okay. Okay. So, Now, I know for sure the only place you can get, there is the Arab League army, the army of the Arab League. They actually come up to about 250 million people. So the whole Arab world will be involved. The battle will start as if, will be started by Israel striking Iran preemptively because they are scared Iran will strike back. Then Iran prepares to strike back, but they can't because their launchers, their bow has been taken out of them, so they cannot launch. Now, then the Sunnis and the Shias get into a massive war. They come out against Israel and seem to forget their differences, but when they come to the mountains of Israel, the Bible says that God will strike them, and each one will turn his sword against his brother. Now, what started as the Arabs fighting Israel will end as Sunnis fighting Shias, and 2.3 billion people will die. Now, I suspect strongly that this war will have concluded by the end of next year. Now, when it concludes, because it's very imminent, it could be sooner than that. It could actually be sooner, because the Bible says it will be brief, but there will be so many deaths. Now, it actually says, let me read some of those scriptures before we come toward the end. It actually says that. Now, you see, if you want to see Bible prophecy, if you want to try to understand, look at what's happening and try to be in the shoes of the Apostle John, seeing things which are so far away, and say, can he describe this as that? Would you describe this as this? If I was him and I didn't have this language that we now have of these things. Anyhow, let's finish in Ezekiel 39, verse 9. Then those who dwell in the cities of Israel will go out and set on fire and burn the weapons, both the shields and the bucklers, the bows and the arrows, the javelins and spears, and they will make fires with them for 7 years. Now, that is so important because it shows this war has to happen before the final 7 years. Because if these people are going to be burning things for 7 years, then that cannot enter into the millennium. Now, that's why, do you understand what I'm saying? That's why I strongly suspect that it will be the last battle, and after it, immediately after it, then they will sign the seven-year agreement. Because right now, the reason they are not going to sign that peace agreement between Israel and its neighbors is because the Arabs feel strong, and they have refused. Do you know, Palestinians, they refuse to recognize the state of Israel. And they even sat in a meeting in Sudan, in Khartoum, some time ago, and said, we will never recognize Israel. Because they feel they have a position of strength. Now, what America has been trying to do with Trump is to make them feel that they don't have that strength, to reduce their strength by cutting the aid and doing all those things, because then they will be motivated to negotiate. But now they are not motivated to negotiate. They are making unrealistic terms because they feel they are in position of strength. Now, when this war ends and 2.3 billion people are dead, most of them will be those people around there, those Arabs, most of them. Then they will be in a position of weakness. Now, finally, they will be able to, they will be in position to negotiate. And they will be in position to allow Jerusalem to be a part of Israel. But they will still have that thing. So they will not let it be permanently. They will sign an interim agreement for 7 years. Now, when this war is the one which is going to, because right now everybody is talking with, you know, yeah, if you don't want, you leave sort of thing. But after they have been hammered like this, then they will sit down and negotiate. And now that will begin the 7 years. And it will be, you know, you cannot sign an agreement without a war. By the way, you can't. When people are at peace, they are very stubborn. Remember, when this government has taken over, they say we are changing money, we are removing 2 zeros and taking 30%. Now, if they tried that now, people would argue, why are you taking the 30%? But that time nobody argued. Why war? When people are coming from war, they are very compliant. Because they have been hit to a certain point. Now, there are certain things, decisions you cannot make unless there is a war. So now, this war will be necessary to bring these two parties to discuss. And then they will start that seven-year agreement, which we all know about. Praise the Lord. Now, when that seven-year agreement is signed, listen to what it says, that there will be, this is verse 9, they will not take wood, verse 10, from the field, nor cut down any from the forests, because they will make fires with the weapons, and they will plunder those who plundered them, and pillage those who pillaged them, says the Lord God. Says the Lord God. It will come to pass in that day that I will give Gog a burial place there in Israel, the valley of those who pass by the east of the sea, and it will obstruct travelers, because they will bury Gog and all his multitude. Therefore they will call it the valley of Hamon Gog, which means multitude of Gog. For 7 months the house of Israel will be burying them in order to cleanse the land. Now imagine this number of people who you bury for 7 months. And 7 months you're burying, but they are still dead bodies to be sorted. And it actually says, go to the next verse, and it says that, go to the next. Indeed, all the people of the land will be burying. Everybody is burying for 7 months. And they will gain renown for it on the day that I am glorified, says the Lord. Now, the Lord says this will be his day, when even the Arabs will stand and know that something supernatural happened. Because they come with 200 million people to flood. It says like a cloud. You know when people come and they are like a cloud and they are saying this time we are wiping. Because of course that's what they have been. Iran even has a timetable of when they are going to wipe Israel off the face of the map. Now they come with troops of... I'm sure they will involve Turkey, that's for sure. They will involve Russia, that I know for sure. They will involve, of course, the others who are mentioned, Ethiopia, Libya, whom I described who they are. But there will be around 20 countries which will come up with this army of 200 million. And they will all attack. And God says that the fury will show in his face. I don't want to see that. And then he comes down to the mountains of Israel to just glorify himself and show himself. Now, after that, they are humbled. And after that, they are ready to talk peace. And the 7 years start. Praise the Lord. So now, how imminent is this? You saw how they are saying it's inevitable. War with Iran and nuclear. And by the way, it is absolutely inevitable. But we know who is going to be the winner. What we don't know is when it is going to happen. That I can speculate. But it could happen this year, but it might not. But it will involve Israel hammering those people with nuclear weapons. Because what do you do with 200 million people when your whole population, do you know what the population of Israel is? Like 9 million. The whole population. And then you are attacked with an army of 200 million. You just nuclear them. Because how do you handle people like that? So now fire and brimstone and what and all those things. You just hammer them with what? With nuclear weapons. And that now once nuclear weapons are used, everybody is going to remove theirs. North Korea, Russia. Do you know 90% of the world's, about 80 or 90% of the world's nuclear weapons are owned between America and Russia. So everybody is going to be unleashing nuclear weapons. That's how 2.3 people are going to die. But I suspect we in Uganda will be cheating, drinking cappuccino. Because why these guys sort themselves out? Because after all, it's a River Euphrates war. It is not. And now those people who are, all of them are coming there. Put a hook. Russia, Iran, come. Libya, all of them are coming slowly by slowly, until the angels are released to show them gas. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Glory to God. So get ready for something big happening very soon. You go and read the stories of what's happening there. American soldiers here, Turkish soldiers there, all of them threatening each other. Those are NATO allies. It's unprecedented. It's absolutely unprecedented, by the way. Glory to God. So, do you know yesterday, when I saw that uniform of the Russian army and described by, I was amazed. Because I was saying, now, who are these people? And I asked the Lord, and he led me to check that out. And I'm saying, wow. And John says, I see people marching with breastplates of red and yellow and blue. Wow. That cannot be a coincidence. Glory to God. Bless the Lord. You are finished preaching. Like if you're having issues with witchcraft, especially manifesting in dreams, bad dreams and what, I want you to stand up. Manifesting in bad dreams of every kind. Now I want, stand up if you're such a person. How do you know it's witchcraft? How do you know it's witchcraft? Animals chasing you. Okay, I'm going to pray. Like, we have to really break this now. And this, okay, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke. And now, like I'm seeing a guy who, don't stand up, but I'm seeing a guy who is like sexual, of a sexual nature. Like you sleep with people you don't know in your dreams. And it is very real, you even finish. And you wake up when you're wet. Now I want to pray for you in the name of Jesus. And if there's any such, even like, you know, such people in the name of Jesus. Now there's this anointing to actually break all that. Now in the name of Jesus, I cancel every witchcraft that manifests itself against these people in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Now one of you, I can see it even hinders you from getting. You were one of a lady. You were molested when you were young, and it kind of made an entrance to these things, to these demonic attacks, and has actually hindered you from getting married. Now, in the name of Jesus, I break it.
I break it in Jesus' name. If you're that person, receive it now. Believe that it is broken and it shall not attack you again. Now, every other witchcraft that attacks people and in form of dreams and even other things that creates a frustration in your life, a frustration in certain areas, in the name of Jesus. Now, even I'm seeing a man and there is so many rejections in the area of love. Rejections, and it's also about that. It's about witchcraft, and it's about, now this is a bit of a mature man, and it's about some relationship you had some time ago, and somebody swore that you are not going to get into another relationship. Now, in the name of Jesus, I cancel that in Jesus' name, and I decree that you are free. Say, I'm free. Everybody say, I'm free. Yeah, now there are no more demonic dreams in the name of Jesus. I cancel demonic dreams from your life in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Now from this day, your dreams will be filled with glory. Will be of direction. In the name, I cancel every attack of the enemy upon your dreams. Now I go into your rooms in the name of Jesus. And I surround that place with the power of God. That no demon shall come to manifest itself in the form, in that form. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, Risha Shakarabas. Like actually one person I'm seeing completely, even you actually almost see it. Yeah? Now there are some weird things which happen here. That somebody, you actually almost see it. Eh? In the name of Jesus, now I decree that that demon shall not return to torment you in the name of Jesus. So now receive that if you're that person in the name of Jesus. Now all of you are free. Eh? Your dreams are different from this day. Your dreams are of direction. Your dreams are of glory. In the name of Jesus, now one person has a tremendous fear, almost a super, like, almost a demon of fear. Eh? Like you're so scared, and nothing, like, even you're so scared of the night, eh? And it is because of a demonic presence, like a demon that has that description. Now I want to. Who is that person? That one, you come forward because we'll, like extreme fear, fear of. Rika baza tarva shiko krozon tarva shiramra. Rika baza tarva shakram. 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 In the name of Jesus, I free you. I rebuke that spirit of fear in the name of Jesus, and I free you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And you too, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Scared of the night. It's almost as if your kids are the ones actually who make you feel secure.
True.
Instead of the other way around.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, I decree that from this day onwards, the spirit of boldness, I rebuke that spirit of fear.
Amen.
And I command it to come out of you.
Thank you, Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And even out of your surroundings, in Jesus' name. And it does not even affect just the night. It is the fear of failure.
Yes.
The fear of trying out new things.
Yes.
Like you sit down and think everything through and think it through, and you're just so scared of taking a step because of the fear that it will fail.
Yes.
Now, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke that.
Amen.
And
thank
I replace
you,
it with a spirit of boldness.
Thank you, Lord.
You'll conceive something and you'll step out in faith.
Amen.
And it will happen.
Amen.
Because God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Amen.
Now you'll know that you're protected.
Amen.
In the name
thank
of
you,
Jesus. And you'll not fear to make mistakes.
Amen.
Because even your mistakes are covered.
Thank
and
you,
they will
Lord.
Not cost you.
Thank you.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. But you may be seated. Now, if anybody just, as I finish, if anybody is sick, a relative sick or something like that, just believe for them right now. We are going to, and now you come and testify. Yeah? You know, you people, so if you have a relative sick, not a friend, a relative sick, or you are sick or any kind of sickness, in the name of Jesus, Okay, now no more ulcers. Nobody here should say he has ulcers again. In the name of Jesus. Because I rebuke them. I rebuke them and I command those wounds to dry. In the name of Jesus. Now go out and step out and do something you did not do. Something you eat, something you could not eat. Because it is gone in the name of Jesus. Now even for your relatives. In the name of Jesus. And every sickness, cancers, in the name of Jesus, cancers, high blood pressure, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke it, I command it to leave, I command the spirit of infirmity to leave from your relatives. You mention their name quietly and say and receive it on their behalf this day, in the name of Jesus, whoever it is, in the name of Jesus, Rika Brazantala, Kia Borozon Torvashirava, Ribosi Terebeshiko Grozon Torvashita Devishin, Rika Brazantala Bashiko Grozon Torvashida. This, what's your name? Stand up. You're called? McElvis?
Yes.
Where are you from?
McKay, I'm a student.
Do you have a younger sister? You don't have a sister or a cousin, somebody younger who is who do you have in mind when about sickness? Who is she? She's your cousin. How old is she?
She's like 22.
No, she's younger than you. The one I'm talking about.
I'm 23.
Okay, you're 23. Yeah? Mm-hmm. You looked younger. What is she suffering from? But no, it is somebody else. Young, really young, single figure age.
It's a lady. I have a brother.
No, not a brother. A girl. Okay, that's in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father. Who do you stay with?
I'm a student. I stay in hostel, but I stay with my dad.
You stay with your dad? Okay, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father, because you release. Okay. Why are you shaking? Okay, now I was seeing as if there's a young, but now I'm being led to release wisdom.
Amen.
Okay,
amen.
Upon you,
amen.
In the name of Jesus, which is different from your school wisdom,
amen.
But wisdom, like the kind of wisdom you'd expect from the watchman, to innovate, like.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus,
amen.
The spirit of wisdom,
amen.
In Jesus' name,
receive,
that you conceive, that you pioneer new things, in the name of Jesus, you start new things, like you don't go with the flow, you stand and people listen to you because you send them in a different direction, which they have not thought about, in the name of Jesus, now that is... that's your portion this day. In the name of Jesus. Rishaka Krazan Taraba Shiro Krozon Torboshira Brazin Taraba. Rika Brazita Labashoko Rozon Torboshira. Even to write.
Amen, I receive.
Do you read? You don't. You don't. But you actually are supposed to write. And you're even doing different things.
I'm doing petroleum.
I thought you knew. But like to write the matters of wisdom.
Amen.
Just wisdom things.
I write a lot, like in my books.
But now real authoring. In years to come. But what do you write who does petroleum?
Messages.
How can somebody who is wise support money? But the wisdom to write. Wisdom and writing, as good as the watchman, praise the Lord. I'm joking about Manu, okay. Don't So have you received the healing for your people?
Yes.
Would you testify?
Yes.
You know, some of you people, by the way, now on Wednesday, some guy comes to office, and but you know, you have to learn how to come and testify, because so some guy comes to me, and you come with visible, eh? But you can't testify. You're like the 9 lepers. Only one comes to testify. And Jesus says, where are all the rest? It's important, by the way. Now, some guy came to me. He was on the wall, deeply indebted. So I told him, he came to office. I told him, now God is going to surprise you. That debt is going to be paid in a spectacular way. God is going to surprise you. And when he does, you know that that is the turning point in your life and so on. Now, a few days later, the person who was kubanjaring him called him and told him, sentence rabi ku mobile money, thank you very much, what? And the guy said, I've not yet sent. Said, no, I've seen it. So he tried to say, I've not sent any money. The guy said, I've seen the money right here, man. Thank you so much for... Now, the next time the guy comes to my... Do you know, you just come and tell me, but man, you know what God did? That lifts my day and makes me happy. But the guy came back next time when he had another big problem. And that's how so many people are. And that, by those things that stop you for it. Now, imagine somebody pays a debt in millions. Just sends mobile money. And this guy is convinced it's from you and it is not. And you try to tell him it is not, but he doesn't want to know. He's busy thanking you. And I told him God is going to surprise you, something spectacular. Now he came to my office and said, you know, the last time I was here, I think it was like about June last year, you told me this. And actually it was right, because what? But now I'm here, because now this is not working. Now some of you guys, by the way, even like, because people will call you when they have problems. But when you get a testimony, come and testify before these people. It builds people's faith. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Yeah, so nobody here has ulcers. It's official, No ulcers, Turn your neighbor and say, if you ever say you have ulcers, No ulcers, ulcers free zone in the name. Because I know there are some people who actually had them, who had them and have been battling with them, But now it is healed in the name of Jesus, In the, amen. God bless you.